joining Butch Stearns and Christian Fourier now. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
What a pleasant surprise.
What's up, my brother?
Surprise. This is, I tell you, I haven't looked forward to this in a long, long time.
Yeah, man, me too. I tell you, I was just telling some, you know, a little.
No, let me stop you. Let me stop. He's been telling a lot of stories in here, Tom.
So I'll give
you the chance now to tell a Christian Fourier story on the air for everybody to hear.
First of all, Tom, mine were all good. Mine were all good, funny ones.
I can't believe you got up this early to come into work.
Yeah, we were worried about that.
4:30, bro.
Who was the first time you met Christian? What did you think of him?
What a handsome young guy.
I guess it was like spring minicamp.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, and he came in and. Christian, man, I mean, I can't say, you know, it was a wonderful experience playing with him. He is an awesome player, awesome teammate. You know, I think it's interesting, you know, you talk about certain players that, you know, why this organization is the way it is. And, you know, not to blow as much smoke as I can.
Blow it.
But Christian was he is a huge reason why. Just, I mean, it comes down to toughness. It comes down to making the critical plays in the critical times you know, the leadership and just doing whatever you got to do. And Christian was pretty undersized for a tight end, but, you know, never played that way. So he was the blocker at the point of attack and, you know, just a great guy to have in the huddle.
Wow, you're doing great. Just keep going.
It's the truth.
Keep going.
It's the truth.
Well, listen, but real quickly, I want to say, obviously, you see how the fam's doing and how fatherhood is doing for you in the middle of the season like this. Are you getting any sleep?
Yeah, I know. It's
and if I could have told you anything, I would say make sure you have your babies in camp when you're gone for the first 6 weeks, and you don't have an excuse for getting up at night. Tom, come on.
I've been a bad planner my whole life. So it's just kind of. Yeah, man. It was. It's been great. It's been great coming home. You know, to see him and to see my wife and you know, it's definitely, you know, fatherhood now the second time around.
Yeah.
It's really exciting and God, I never thought I'd have kids for, you know, when I was done playing and yeah. 32, I got two of them. So.
Well, you got two more to catch up with me, so get after it.
Tom,
as usual, we got so much to talk to you about, but the first thing Christian and I want to ask you about, you quoting Tom Sr., tall trees experience high winds?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's proud of that one.
Wow, we were blown away by that one this morning.
You know, I mean, it's just, you know, I think a lot of times, and I used it in reference to Randy and, you know, just the criticism that he faced last week. And then, you know, when you're a really great player like he is
people expect a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real competitive game. And you know, there's obviously weeks where you come out of the game and you wish you would have played better. And I think we all do that. You know, every week we probably do that. And sometimes you get criticized more than others. And obviously the guys who are expected to perform the best get the most criticism. And you just got to be able to weather that, and that's when it gets tough, and you got to have enough mental toughness, and you know, you have to be centered and grounded enough to overcome that, and he certainly did, and we as a team certainly have over, you know, periods this season. So we're just going to keep battling. You know, it's been obviously, you know, we've had a lot of close games, you know, and being 9-5 and watching those two teams lose yesterday, the Jets and the Dolphins, that gave us a lot of gave us a nice lead here in the division. So we obviously have a huge game this week. We got to go take care of business at home, which we've been doing all year.
Yeah, you know, just real quick, you touched on Moss a little bit. And, you know, it's funny because people are actually surprised at how much, you know, you and Bill and really everybody were pretty much standing up for him and coming to his defense, you know, back in his play, back in his character. You know, why do you think, you know, and you touched on a little bit, but is that really necessary? Like, why should, you know, why do you think people expect that from you guys?
Well, you know, I think it's, you know, when you're in that locker room, you know, I mean, with as well as anybody that, you know, you're the only people that are really going to help you win the game at the end of the day are the guys that are in the locker room. I mean, there's not, you know, every time you go on the road, you just say, this is all we got, you know, this is all we need. And it's the same thing. There's no one that's going to pull us out of a two-game losing streak other than the guys in the locker room. And, you know, us to have confidence in each other and to have trust in each other. And, I mean, that's how you overcome those things. And I've seen teams that throw each other under the bus.
Yeah.
You know, the offense blames the defense, and the defense blames the offense, and the special teams, the players blame the coaches, or the coaches blame the players, which I saw this last weekend. It's comical, you know, because that's not what it's all about. And you know, you're going to lose over the course of a season, at least, you know, other than the Colts this year, but it's about overcoming those, you know, whatever adversities they may be to, like I said, build trust in each other so that you can continue to, you know, grow in the trust in one another.
Yeah, you know, everyone's making a big point about how it really seemed like you guys targeted him a lot in this game, and, you know, he was in the slot a little bit, and, you know, just a really nice...
Yeah, a lot of underneath stuff.
Yeah, and a really nice dart on that touchdown pass that he caught, by the way, a nice throw. You know, every week I'm sure you guys are trying to figure out a way to get him the ball. Was it more this weekend?
Yeah, and I think he's always, you know, it's, you know, obviously Wes, you know, who's a huge part of the offense, and Randy, you know, those two guys, you got to find ways to get the ball to, and you always have plays where, you know, they're the first read, and pretty much whatever coverage, they're going to be the first read. A lot of times, you know, when you put a guy outside, you know, on the numbers or outside the numbers, you know, if it's not the right coverage, it's hard to really get them the ball, and
yeah.
Not typically are they the first read on the play, so... When you always line Randy up out there, now he has an opportunity to do some things down the field, but, you know, in order to be kind of a possession receiver, you have to be able to play in the middle part of the field, between the numbers, where that's where Wes gets a lot of his catches. He doesn't catch many balls outside the numbers. So, you know, you're not going to gain as many yards inside the numbers because there's more bodies in there, but, you know, you could be able to possess the ball more because you can run some combination routes with the tight end and the receiver,
whoa,
the running back and the receiver.
Yeah, wait, you said it. Oh, man.
You
remember the tight end, huh? Because that's – I'm going to let Butch go because I'm going to hammer you on the tight end situation.
He's a one-trick pony, man. That's all we ever hear in here.
Look at him. Once a tight end, always a tight end. He's always standing up for him. He's saying, get him the ball. So I understand. Yeah, we're trying. Believe me, I love Ben. Has been a huge part of this offense, and so is – you know, Chris has made some big catches for us this year, and you're right. We got to get the ball to the offense. Hell, we were trying to get the ball to anybody yesterday. We weren't doing a very good job of any of it. So, you know, there was definitely times where I was looking at Ben, you know, and just the coverage really just didn't dictate it going to him. So, you know, it's
force it in there.
I know. See if we can make the play.
Tom, Christian,
you sound like Ben.
Yeah, you're always open. Ben, you know, you're always open. Are we open? Of course. Now.
Christian and I have been talking a lot about this morning, and you had a comment after the game about how you guys don't want to be one-dimensional, obviously. I can imagine with guys like Moss and Welker, there are games when they're over where you must say to yourself, man, I didn't try to get the ball to Randy enough or whatever. And then we go back to the 2003-04 Patriots where the famous saying was that Tom Brady's favorite receiver was the one that was always open. Are you a different quarterback now? Are your progressions different? I mean, clearly, if you have weapons like Moss and Welker, you have to get it to them. But don't you risk being or being perceived by a defense as one-dimensional because you're targeting those two guys so much?
I mean, that's a great question, and I think that's right. You know, the more you throw to those guys, the more the coverage goes to those guys, and the harder it is to get the ball to those guys. So, you know, they definitely try to find ways to cover Wes and cover Randy, you know, all the time. I mean, there's not too many instances where, you know, the focus of the coverage is not on at least one of those two, most of the time both of them, which means we do have to run the ball and get the ball to a third option or a fourth option, whether it be Kevin or Sam Aiken or Julian Edelman or Baker or Ben, obviously. So, you know, and that's what we're trying to do. We've got to continue to find those ways, especially, you know, as the weather gets cold and it gets, you know, a little tougher to throw the ball like it will be this week. And then, you know, you've got to be able to have balance in your offense or else, you know, your weapons become really ineffective. And, you know, they were doing a good job on Wes yesterday, and you know, that's why Randy had probably the most catches. But still, that third option is, you know, it's critical for this offense.
Have you seen guys, you know, since that New Orleans game, you know, really, for me, you know, when I watched that New Orleans game, it seemed like that was the first time they really – kind of got after Wes a little bit and, you know, slowed him down. Yeah, he was catching, but he couldn't really get loose. Have you seen, does it seem like, you know, people are really kind of starting to figure it out a little bit, you know, even with less talent?
Every team seems like they have a little different scheme and things that they need to do a little bit differently. Like Carolina had a few different schemes that they used. You know, Wes made some huge plays in that game, but, you know, it's – you know, New Orleans had a very unique scheme to try to get those two guys. So, you know, I think the thing is you got to identify what they're trying to do early and then be able to make those adjustments. And you got to put a lot of plan, you know, a lot of game planning in during the week to say, okay, if this is the way they're going to play, then this is the way we need to play, even anticipating what they're going to do. So, you know, it's one thing to practice the things like in a scouting report, but then also to try to anticipate things that you maybe haven't seen over the last four games, that things that they may have that they may try to do to slow those guys down, even though it's not that big of a package when they play the Cleveland Browns. So, you know, it's a little bit of a chess game out there, you know, lately, and I think that's we've got to obviously do a better job at it, score more points.
Tom, I know it's been frustrating, or I imagine it's been frustrating for you not being able to put teams away this year. I mean, you've only had, whatever the stat was, one loss over a seven-year period when you led after three quarters. You've had three this year, and even yesterday you had a game that you seemed to have in control, and all of a sudden it was a one-touchdown game with an onside kick coming. And I saw a stat that kind of blew me away they put up yesterday. You guys had run at the time, it's probably more now, 132 more plays than the defense during your games, which was number one in the NFL. So you're controlling the games offensively, yet you don't have the killer instinct by your results. That's got to be frustrating for you guys.
Yeah, and I think we're you know, yesterday we did a decent job getting in the red area when we got down there, but we didn't, you know, we haven't been, I think, a great red area team this year. That's really held us back. And yesterday, like, for example, in the second half, we just couldn't stay on the field on third down. So, you know, you're not going to be able to score points if you can't convert third downs. And it was a good third down that we converted there at the end of the game. But, you know, we had, I think, four three and outs, something like that in the second half, which it's not very good. So, you know, you got to, we're trying to figure out ways to, you know, run the ball when they know that we're going to run it, which is obviously the hardest time to do it. And then when it is a lot of man coverage, find ways to get our guys open versus man coverage. So it's, you know, yesterday was tough. It was tough offensively. I got on the bus after the game and I looked over it. You know, our receivers coach, I said, man, it felt like every yard we were grinding out yesterday, earlier in the game. So in other games, it feels like, man, you just throw 30-yard completion after 30-yard completion. It's, you know, it gets pretty easy out there. But,
well, Boomer Esiason was talking to us earlier. He said he thought it was pretty windy in Buffalo yesterday.
It was a nice day.
By Buffalo standards,
no,
it was a nice day. There was no snow.
Don't want to hear
and there wasn't any driving rain. Well, you're talking about running the ball, you know, when they know they're going to run it now. A guy that I've been kind of, jumping on a little bit in the beginning of the year, now I'm actually really impressed with him, is Lawrence Maroney. It seems like he's really, you know, taking the coaching well and really trying to do the right things. You know, if you have any impact, any, you know, I know you're not a running back. Is there anything you could tell, you've been talking to him about as far as getting after it?
Yeah, I think, you know, the key, I think, you know, for a running back, just like every position, I mean, it's about being decisive, you know, and you're not going to be right all the time, but whatever decision you do make, you have to do it with confidence and explosion and with power, and that same thing with throwing a ball. I mean, if you're always kind of in between on the guy you're throwing to, you never get a great spiral on the ball. You never really drive the ball, and you don't end up being as accurate. And I think same thing as a receiver, to make the right decision on the route and to be a decisive, okay, what's the DB doing? How am I going to set him up? Or in the running game, you know, being a downhill runner, and then when you see the, when you make your read, you know, you make your cut and you go with it. And then, you know, you run with explosion through the hole. And Lawrence certainly has been doing a better job of that, you know, as evidenced by the amount of carries that he's had and the amount of yards that he's gaining. But he's, you know, he has done a good job these last few weeks, and I think that's something we definitely needed, and I think that's a big part of controlling the game also. And it's nice for the offensive line to be able to settle the game down running the ball, because, you know, when you pass protect 40 times against Aaron Schobel, I mean,
he's bound to get a bunch
of sacks.
His plays. Yeah.
So, but if you can keep him off balance, and I think we only threw it like 23 times yesterday, you know, I think that's what we're going to have to do.
Schobel went and got you low on somewhat of a late hit, and I saw you go over and talk to the referee. In a situation like that, is it like a basketball player? Do you almost work the referees for a call later in the game? I mean, what would you say to him at the time?
Yeah, I mean, you always kind of develop a relationship with the refs. You know,
of course he's working
standing
it.
Standing behind the huddle all day, and you're communicating with them. You know, there's sometimes I don't see something, and sometimes I don't. You know, I'm looking for clarifications on things.
So what'd you say to him?
Did you see that?
I don't remember. I think I said, you know, I said, was he blocked into me? And, you know, and he said, yeah, he was. So, I can't tell. I'm looking down the field. So, I just want to let him know that if he wasn't blocked into me, that should have been a penalty. But, you know, he said he was. So,
Christian and I have been talking a lot about the whole weekend and what it looks like with two games to go. And as you said, you came in the locker room, you saw Tennessee beat Miami, you saw the Jets lose, so now you have a two-game lead in the division. Yet with two games to go, one at home in Jacksonville and then at Houston, nothing's assured. I mean, you haven't clinched anything yet. Was it? How big was it to get a road win, though? Is that something you guys talk about?
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, it's pretty embarrassing to not have a road win into the middle of December. I mean, that's something that's, I think, been really bothering all of us. You know, legitimate road win, not including the Tampa game over in London. So, you know, it was good to get it was definitely good to get that. It's not like we ever lose confidence. I mean, it's just a matter of playing good. I think that's what it comes down to. And I think we're still trying to find a way to play better football for 60 minutes, which we've done, you know, one time this year against Tennessee, which was, you know, obviously a great game for us. And to continue to find ways to do that. And ultimately, it comes down to execution. When the plays are there, we got to hit them. When the guys are open down the field, you got to hit them. It's, you know, I think that's what opens the game up, when you're able to make some of those big plays. And, you know, we had some opportunities there, you know, early in the game, late in the game to do that. And, you know, we just didn't get it done.
Well, you got two games left. You got Jacksonville coming into town, then you're taking a trip to Houston, our favorite place.
Well, you know, come on. You used to be in locker room. You're not going to ask about Houston 2 weeks out, are you?
No, I'm not asking about it. I know it's not going to say, but I guess my thing is, you know, a lot of guys have left, which is obvious, and everybody's hitting on it. And you really got a young team, an inexperienced team that hasn't really been in this situation before. Have you had to become more of a vocal leader? I mean, because people ask me, I go, I didn't really remember you being like a rah-rah guy, you know, more of a lead by example, you know, but this, now you're the old dog now. I mean, is this something you got to be more vocal? Are you standing up in front of the office? Are you doing the cheer at the end of the game in the locker room? You know, how we feel about a win?
The Brewski cheer?
Sure. Is that you? Have you done that yet?
You know, Junior always, you know, before the game had something to say, which, you know, there's nobody better probably in the history of the NFL that can kind of lead a team in a pregame talk than Junior.
Gradually.
Just how emotional and intense he is.
Breaking glass.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty unbelievable the stuff he comes up with. And and then, you know, after the game, it's really, you know, someone, it's usually not me. I think maybe has once this year, but Randy was yesterday. So it's just a different, you're right, it's a different group. And you know, I've said all year, you know, it's hard to replace guys like Rodney Harrison. And those guys don't come along.
Yeah, that's you know, my point also.
Mike Grabe or Teddy or, I mean, Troy Brown. I mean, all these guys that, you know, obviously were incredible players and leaders and teammates. And they're just, those just, you just don't find those guys everywhere.
You think people expect too much from that group?
Well, I think it's unfair to put it on Jerod Mayo. You know, I mean, I think as a second-year player, I mean, he's in his second year. I mean, we all remember we were in our second year. We weren't counted on as leaders of the team. Now, he's certainly expected to play a great role as middle linebacker, but, you know, I mean, it's do your job. That's what it is. I went in my second year, I was playing quarterback, and in the same way, I wasn't expected to be a leader of the team. I was expected to do my job. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that have kind of been in and out. Which, you're right, it's been maybe a little bit different year in terms of transition of players and new guys playing and fitting into the scheme and rookies. And but now at this point in the year, I mean, hell, we've been together for 18 games, including the preseason. So there's not much of that inexperienced talk that, you know, we were using in week two. So we played a lot of football at this point, and kind of the team that we have is the team that you see on the field, which, you know, at some weeks we play better than others. And ultimately we got to find ways to win the game like we did yesterday, and it's great to play a great game of football, but ultimately the winning is what's most important.
Well, you got two games left, 2-7-7 teams. I mean, these are playoff games for these teams, if not for you. Even though you have a two-game lead in the division, Jacksonville played Indianapolis tough Thursday night. They lost 35-31. They could be coming to Foxborough as your first-round playoff opponent if that plays itself out. I mean, this is a playoff game for them Sunday when they come to town.
Yeah, yeah, and just for us too. I mean, I'll tell you, we can't afford to lose any games. We couldn't afford to lose yesterday. We couldn't afford to lose to Carolina. We had two straight losses against the Saints and Miami, and really, when we were sitting there, we said, listen, we can't lose any of these games. And we've won two straight, and Jacksonville's a damn good team, very well coached. We watched that game against Indy. I mean, in a lot of ways, they played a great game against Indy. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. They're a good defensive team. We've got a lot of history with Jacksonville. So, yeah, we got our work cut out for us. It's every team presents different challenges, and I think this week it's about understanding the challenges that they face and then trying to keep them from doing the things that they do well. And it's, obviously with Christmas on Friday, it's a little bit of a different week for everybody, and the guys with kids, it's, a fun week for them, and families come into town. So, I think most importantly, we've got to win this game. I think that's what's most important to me.
All right, time for the Renaissance Alliance Power and Clout Quarterback Question of the Week. Comes from us, from Rob in Alston. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the answer to this question is not Miami, but Rob wants to know, which AFC East stadium, aside from Foxborough, do you enjoy playing in the most?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. For me, it's been the Meadowlands. I think that's my favorite place, and we're not going to have an opportunity to play there again. And I had never lost in the Meadowlands until this year, so it's I was hoping to close that stadium with another win, but that's my favorite by far. They're great. It's just a great rivalry playing the Jets, and Buffalo's a great place. Had good success there, and Miami's, boy, that's always a tough place to play. More so because of the players on the team rather than the stadium or the environment. But the Meadowlands is kind of second to none.
Well, I tell you what, I just got one last question for you, and this is an easy one. You should definitely know this answer.
Tell me.
Is Michigan ever going to get their act together? What's up with Michigan? Were they ever going to get their stuff together? I mean, have you stopped sending in the alumni checks? What's going on?
No, it's bad. And every time I talk to, a former teammate of mine, it's just guys who go up to the games, they have no explanation. So we've had two pretty rough years. Coach Lloyd Carr, he was a great coach for that school. But, it's ugly now, especially watching Ohio State beat us like they do. Listen to all those jerks.
Yeah, but Vrabel's not around anymore, so you don't have to worry about the jerseys and all that.
I still hear from him, though, believe me. Just a text message away.
Hey, while we're talking about college, have you talked to Charlie Weiss at all? Have you heard from him?
Yeah, quite a bit.
And?
No. I mean, obviously, you guys are very close.
I don't think
close.
He knows what he's doing yet. I think he's still undecided, and I think there's plenty of options out there for him. It's just a matter of what fits best for him and his family. But, I've always had a great relationship with him. We spent a lot of time together. So, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, I really don't know. I don't think he knows at this point. So, just have to let it play out.
Well, Tom, congratulations to you and Giselle on Benjamin. Congratulations on the win yesterday, and happy holidays, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you, Motor, and take care, brother.
All right, Merry New Year, homie.
See you, Tom.
All right, we'll see you. Bye, guys. That's